Welcome to Empowering the Working Mom podcast, the place where working moms find inspiration, support, and practical advice to thrive in their professional and personal lives while aligning it all with God. I'm your host, Latika Bind, a fellow working mom on a mission to empower you to embrace your God-given strength and resilience of balancing work and life while leading you to align it all with God. Twice monthly, we'll delve into topics that matter to you, from time management, advancing your career, mental health, your relationship with God, and so much more. Get ready for insightful interviews with inspiring working moms, experts, and thought leaders who'll share their wisdom, their experiences, their prayers, and their Tabitha moments. Because together, we can break down barriers, defy stereotypes, and rewrite the narrative of being a working mom. So get ready for your empowering moment. Welcome to the Empowering Working Mom Podcast. Welcome to the Empowering the Working Mom Podcast, formerly the Latika Vines Show. I am your host, Latika Vines, and I am so excited to come to you this week to give you an empowering moment to help you take the initiative in aligning your work-life balance and career vision with God. Today, we have a special guest who is empowering you with the moment to make the shift to a better you. I am so excited to bring on Dr. Lauren with us today. And just to give you a little bit about who she is the founder and principal agent of Monroe's Property Group, LLC, located right here in the DMV, whose mission is to empower people to invest in themselves, their families, and communities through the pursuit of real estate and entrepreneurship. She is a native of Washington, D.C., growing up in the inner city, raised by a single mother, and was told more often than not that she would never be anything more than a product of her environment. But look at God. And I will tell you that even though people say that you will be or won't be, Lauren is the person that says, I'm going to show up and be better. And I am so excited to have her on this episode today. She is hailing, again, like I said, from D.C., but she went to North Carolina A&T and also Georgetown State University, and just received this year her honorary doctorate in the field of Christian business development from the School of the Great Commission Bible College and Seminary. She has been married to her college sweetheart for 13 years, but they've been together for 20 collectively, and they have two beautiful, well-behaved daughters. And I am so excited to have her on the episode. But before we get into our episode today, I want to mention how you can support the podcast. First, follow and share this episode with the first working mom that comes to your mind. And when this episode is finished, go to www.empoweringtheworkingmom.com to stay updated on our events, online community, and other initiatives to support you. Now, let's get into today's episode. I want to say welcome to Dr. Lauren to the Empowering the Working Mom podcast. I'm so excited that you are here to join us.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be talking to you today. And I'm excited to, you know, to speak with you and, you know, to be a part of your audience space. So yes, thank you.
Absolutely. So I know I read your bio, parts of your bio, but tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
So as you said, I am a native Washingtonian. You know, earlier on, I used to be embarrassed to say I was from, you know, D.C. because people would look at you like, you know, you're from D.C. But I must say I am a proud Washingtonian. I love where I grew up. I love the people. There is nothing like us. When we go places, we show up and we show out. Okay. And I am proud to be a part of that, part of that cast. Went to all DC schools, ended up going to North Carolina A&T, as you mentioned. It's interesting is that, when I thought about going to college, I didn't know that I had to apply to more than one school. Okay. No one told me that, hey, there's a chance you might not get into one of them. I applied to one school and I packed my bags. And then my mom was like, where are you going? I said, I'm going to school. Did you get an acceptance letter? No, I did not. Did I need to get one? I just thought I had to apply. And it's interesting because I have adopted that mindset throughout my life. Okay. I've never believed in the power of being told no. Okay. I've never even, kind of walked in the mood of thinking that I could be rejected. And I'm not to say that I haven't been, right? In places where I've been told no, I just never expected it. And even when I was, I'm like, you know what? I've been turned down by better. So it's all good. I have worked in the field of contracts for a little over 13 years. That was kind of like my tenure in terms of what I did as an employee. And at some point in time, when the pandemic happened, it occurred to me that I had a bigger purpose, and that purpose was to build legacy for my family, but not for it to just be within the four corners of my house or where I live, but to also extend that legacy into the community. And so in 2020, I formed Monroe's Property Group, got my license, and just started being in the community and educating people about what it means to be to have real estate. The majority of people in our world today who are billionaires, millionaires in their own right, they own property. Okay, they do a lot of different things, but property is the foundation and foremost thing that they have. And I wanted to make sure that I got out to our community to make them understand the importance of having it. And even if you use that multi-purpose into something else, right? To take the money, people say, well, never sell grandma's property and this and that. And that's fine. But at the end of the day, as long as there is intention for, what comes from the sale of that property to go into something else that will then continue to build legacy is the key. And so recently, as you said, I was awarded an honorary doctorate in Christian business development, which is something that was very sacred to have and to be honored for, to be recognized for having that and being that in the community. And like I said, I'm here today. I'm happy to be here today to kind of share a little bit about what I what it means to be empowered, to be a working mom, and all of those things. So thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for all that you do. Congratulations again on your honorary doctorate. That is so amazing. It really, really is. It's really amazing to be recognized for your work, your effort, everything.
It is. It is. It does make it seem, because sometimes you go through those days when it feels like it's in vain. But to know that even just if you just reach one person, it has made all the difference. And so, yes, this is more than I could have asked for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you mentioned about being empowered and being an empowered working mom. Tell me, how do you define what that is? What is an empowered working mom to you?
That's a good question. An empowered woman, first of all, it just kind of rolls off the tongue when you say it because you can feel the power when you say it. Is someone in my definition who understands the assignment. Okay, she can sit at the front of the table. She can sit at the back of it and the sides too, right? Because even with the latter seats, she understands that her position, right? She understands her position no matter what it is. Okay. She's not threatened by the roles of others. She understands that she is more than capable of leading others, but she's more enamored with being in servitude, right? An empowered woman is someone who speaks up for herself and advocates for others. She does not seek perfection because, there's an understanding there that perfection does not exist, right? An empowered woman is, in my mind, is someone who's, she's focused on building rather than tearing down. She understands that the beauty lies in the words that she speaks and the words that comes out of her mouth. And her adornment, right, is maintained in how well she treats others. So that's an empowered woman, in my opinion.
That's good. That's really, really good. I love that. And it reminds me of Proverbs 31, verses 11 through 17. And it brings up a lot of those qualities of what you're saying here, especially, one, when you mentioned she focused on building. And we go back to Proverbs 31 and talk about that woman who she's building. She's getting up early and she's making sure things are done in her home. And she's also making sure that her family, the legacy of her family, is taken care of because she's buying fields. She's putting in the work. So I love what you're saying here about what it is to be that empowered woman, because
Absolutely.
it goes right along with Proverbs, and what King Lemuel was mentioning this woman should be. So I appreciate you saying that. And so with that, making sure that we are focused on building, that we're servant, that we're speaking up for ourselves, we're advocating for others, we're paving the way for others. What has been the challenge that has held us from actually being empowered? Because we see it, we read it, we talk about it. We see other women doing it, but what is the challenge that is keeping us from doing and being empowered? What do you think that challenge is?
Well, I look at it from my own personal experience, which has been feeling a lack of support, right? From our family sometimes, from our friends, loved ones, sometimes our men, right? It is no fun to struggle and suffer alone and in silence. Okay, it's actually one of the overarching reasons why I would say that you and I are even speaking today. When I reached out to you, I was looking for I was in need of finding individuals and people, or groups of women who I felt like I could identify with, right? Someone who is a wife, someone who's a mom, someone who's dual career, dual purpose, multifaceted. Okay. It's interesting because, the characteristics of the female that I just described, we are a special breed. Okay. It's not easy finding women who have that type of mix and who too can relate. Okay. Sometimes people tell me they're tired. I'm like, well, unless you got some kids, some spouse, some businesses, some jobs, aging parents, properties, this dilapidated.
Right.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about your tired, ma'am, sir. And then to add on to that, I think that a lack of quality mental health, right? What are we feeding ourselves mentally, right? Are we giving in to limiting beliefs? I mean, can we say self-sabotage? Okay. Going into physical health, are we eating right? Right? Energy can't just be sustained on coffee forever. And I'm a big, and you get on me about this, but I'm a big coffee drinker. But I also recognize too that that's not a sustainable thing, especially for women of color. Well, there are other things that can be tied to coffee use and drink over time, right? Spiritual health, right? Like whoever it is that you subscribe to, when I'm not connected to my divine battery source, I'm feeling depleted. And I can't be empowering to myself, let alone someone else, when I am deficient in that category. So I would say all of those things at some point in time are factors that hold us back. And if we are deficient in any one of those areas, right, then it's likely we are going to feel held back from being a source of power.
I love that. I love that. But I will say that that lack of support is heavy. It is prevalent. Because like you said, you were searching for that sisterhood, that community, and there's so many women who are searching for that. And when we don't have that, we do feel alone. We feel like we are in this world by ourselves, that we're the only ones that are, dual or multi-purpose. We're the only ones that have multiple kids and we're trying to keep them active, but at the same time, making sure that our relationships with our husbands are still, what's the word, saucy and spicy. We're still trying to
That's
do
right.
all of that,
Intact.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you are, and I'm gonna be honest, when you and I started communicating, like I felt your energy and I was like, oh my goodness, I love her. And then when we met, and then when we started having conversations, and then when there were similarities of how we were raised and what we went through in life, I was like, oh, Lauren is my person.
Seriously, seriously. I mean, our connection was right off the bat, right? And I think it was because we had so, and this was before, some other things that we found out about one another, but we had just so much commonality off the break. And it's a shame because so many women give up and give out because they feel that no one understands what they're going through. Okay. It's hard to talk to someone who cannot just sympathize, but empathize with you too.
So important. So important. So important. So I want to ask you this question. How can working moms overcome these challenges that you mentioned, the lack of support, the lack of, quality mental health, physical health, spiritual health? How can they overcome and shift into being empowered?
Again, taking from past experiences, I would say, first and foremost is reflection. Okay. Now, it could be one or all the things that I just named, but your quality of life game cannot be on E. Okay. When we're moving around, like we got an S on the chest and not cape on the back, a cape on our back, we'll miss it. Okay, we'll miss the opportunity to sit down and say, okay, where am I right now? Where am I physically? Where am I mentally? Where am I emotionally and spiritually? It's interesting because, when you work for an organization and you work for executives, they have what they call as retreats. And sometimes we need to retreat ourselves, go on a staycation, even if you don't have any money. Take a bag with a sign on the door that says I'm gone to November, or at least until tomorrow at 9 a.m. Don't check in for me. Don't check in for me. I'm
Love
closed
that.
until tomorrow at 8:30. Okay. I've also learned the power of journaling, right? And meditation, because those were things that I wouldn't say I didn't believe in, but I just felt that it was going to be a waste of time. Right. I have less time than I would have to do anything and to sit down and think that to write about what happened in my day, or to meditate, to sit and be quiet. I ain't got time to be quiet. I got to do something. I got to move around, but I am learning that I owe myself that time. I owe me the time to myself to allow myself to think and to regurgitate what is in my mind. So then that then frees me up to be able to, to plan differently, to think differently, to vision differently. Once I've had an opportunity to get all of that out, becoming intentional about what our motivation is, right? The power of meditation to me, and I'm still learning this, as you know, but that power of meditation is incredible. Okay. It really, really allows you to come back to center. Okay, more often than not, because when we are working moms, they say dual career, I say triple everything. Okay, we got everything going on, even stuff that ain't even ours to handle, we're still trying to handle it. And so it's very easily to become distracted. Distractions are negatively rooted. And if you are distracted, you are unrooted, period.
I love that. Can you repeat that for the people in the back?
I sure can. I forgot what I said, but I said, oh, your distractions. To come back to the center. Come back to the center.
Yes.
Distractions are negatively rooted to get you off of the streamline that you're currently in. That's what they're there to do. Okay. You're supposed to be doing one thing and now you done went to go, like I said, wash the clothes, pick the kids up from school. You done went to go fix dinner and you done checked on homework and you have become unrooted. And what it was that you were supposed to do that is really purposeful in your life. All those other things. And I had to say it, because we want to do it all. I do this because no one else can do it better than us. But no one else can also provide the purpose that you have in life either. Right? So sometimes we have to learn to leverage. It's called leverage, and it's a good word. We need to learn more about it. It's okay to have leverage. It's okay to get somebody else to do it. And even if they don't do it right, it's okay. It's okay, but can't everybody do what you was put on here to do? Can't everybody do that? Okay, there's a mission and a call on each of our lives, I believe. And that is to not only, like you said, to empower ourselves, but to power other people. And so if you're sitting in the background trying to, wash some clothes, you're missing out on the purpose.
That's so good. That's so good. That is
Yeah.
so good, and it's oh my goodness, I love God is so amazing because I responded to a friend of mine. She posted something on LinkedIn and she said, what ideas are you working on? What is it that you're working on that you still they're still in your head? And I said, the idea of delegating, what idea should I delegate to others? And she said, that's powerful. And I said, well, what we have to understand as working moms is that we have so many things that we have going on in our head. Not saying that, fathers don't either. But for us, we're thinking about, like this month, I wrote on the calendar, I need to make doctor's appointments for two of my kids. I need to make sure dentist appointments are made for four of them for next month and for May. I need to make sure, there's so many
Me
things that are
too.
happening, right? But with those ideas, like you said, I have to leverage them. I have to delegate them. I cannot do what I am supposed to do if I'm sitting and having these ideas, having these thoughts, and trying to figure out how to do it all. I can't. There's
You
no
can't.
way. There is no way I can fully be present with my family, even with myself, if I'm constantly bogged down with the ideas, the thoughts, the things. I have to leverage.
And
I
that's why
have
most of us
to.
can't sleep at night because we did not get a chance
Yes.
to be, right? We didn't get a chance to be, we didn't get a chance to do, and
Yes.
therefore we did not get a chance to achieve.
Oh,
Okay?
love that.
Because most of us by default, right, when we operate in whatever our passion is, those are the three things that come from that. Be, do, and then we achieve. And so when we have not been allowed to be throughout the day because we have had to multitask and then we forgot whatever we were supposed to have been doing in the first place, we cannot do. Okay. And then when we do not do, someone is missing out on the power that only we can do. And therefore we have lost out on the achievement. Achievement comes from servitude and serving others. Right, but that has to come with a plan, and that plan comes from the vision. So we have not had an opportunity to do any of that,
That's right.
then we are missing out on purpose.
That's right. Love that. Love that. Be, do, achieve. Love that. Oh my goodness. That needs to be a shirt. That needs to be a shirt, a mug, a cup, all of it.
We're learning. We're learning,
Yes, it
but
is a
as
learning process.
yeah,
And I think that's the other thing that we need to point out here is that, yes, we want to be empowered. Yes, we want to do the things, that we see in Proverbs 31. We want to be and do and achieve. It is a process, and we are not going to be able to do all the things in this moment, in this time, in this year. We have to pack some patience with ourselves. We have to give ourselves grace, understanding that everything, we think about, I love 40, and I'm so excited about turning 40 this year. And when I was doing research, what I understood was that when we go into the Bible, how many times does it mention 40? How many times does it mention that Jesus went out for 40 nights to pray, or Moses, or we're talking about the ark, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Patience.
Come on
Patience
now.
was packed in there because things had to happen during those 40 days and those 40 nights. So there was patience that needed to be had on Noah's family, because even after the 40 days and 40 nights, it still took months for them to come out of the ark because all the water had to evaporate. All the water had to go away, and the land had to do what it does in order for them to step on the land, in order for the birds to go find a place to lay their feet. It took time. Likewise, it takes time for us to do what it is that we are empowered to do. We're not going to be able to do everything in the moment. We're not going to be able to do everything in the year. We have to understand that patience is a virtue that comes with being empowered.
You know, it's funny because I realized that whenever I didn't get whatever God was putting out, I'm retested on the same thing. And like you said, patience is a virtue. But I find that in the season and the climate of where we are right now with the culture as a society, we all are struggling in that vein. I don't care what struggles you got going on. They all come back to the root of, do you have patience? Right? We live in a microwave society. And this is why it's the biggest struggle and the biggest source of tests for most of us, because we are used to getting it when we want it. And as an empowered mom, our mindset is easily, it will, if someone still can't provide it, I'm gonna get it myself. Okay? But what do you do, right, when God says no? Okay? When God says no and says, no, you will wait on this one, right? We're sitting there trying to figure, sometimes we go out to things that we ain't supposed to have, all because we wasn't patient and waiting for God to bless us with something that was would have been bigger than what we had got if we had to wait.
That's right.
Right? I think about the lesson with Job. Just to kind of put it out there, it's like, okay, he was tested. I mean, he was tested on a few different things. But patience, it came back to his patience too, because at some point, he could have definitely said, oh no, I'm just going to I'm gonna go with
That's
I'm
right.
gonna lose my faith, right?
Yep.
I'm gonna lose my faith, and I'm going to curse God because it's taking him too
Yes.
long. Okay, every time I wake up, I'm losing something. Okay, and I don't want to wait, so I'm just gonna go. And just imagine if he had done that. Right, out of all the things that he was tested and he lost. Now, for those of us today, I don't know how many of us, especially empowered moms, that would have been, we would have been like, look, let me go out here and get me another man. Okay. Let me go out here and get me another man. Let me go out here because I don't know what you're doing, Lord, but I got to have, and it's the season of waiting. It is the season of being patient and understanding that patience is equivalent to faith. And sometimes everything ain't meant to happen at the time when we want it.
That's right.
And it hurts me to my soul to say that, because I am one of those women who, like, okay, it didn't happen. Let me, I'm gonna do it again. And sometimes we have to wait on the Lord. Okay, there's a season of that happening right now. So this is on point, honey. This is timely. For real.
You're absolutely right. We do live in a microwave society. We live in a microwave society, and patience is something that we no longer view or value. And because I think about with jobs, you're asked to do something and you're like, oh, can you get that to me yesterday? And it's like, wait a minute, what? Can you at least tell me your objective of this project that you want? We don't value patience, and it's important for us to understand that to be empowered means that God is going to reveal something to you. He's going to ask you to do something, but you have to wait on him to manifest what it is that he's asked you to do.
Right. Well, I think of too, how a lack of patience is linked to so many different health issues, right? Lack of patience, contributes to anxiety. A sense of urgency all the time, thinking that we got to get it done right now, and we got six, seven, eight different things that we feel like we got to get done right now, and that creates anxiety. Right. Then there's, lack of patience contributes to doubt. Right. So that's why I said patience is something that we got to hone in on sometimes, because, a deficiency in that area contributes to so many other deficiencies in other areas too.
I love that. The deficiencies.
Yeah.
I love
When we
that.
get our multivitamin, we need to make sure that we add in the vitamin for patients. Because, okay, take
That's a
the
good one.
multivitamins and add in that patience with it too every day, because it
Every
is
day.
a task. It is a task, and it's something that you have to be mindful of it every single day, especially in society we live in, because if not, we get rooted into this anxiousness and then anxiety, then depression. Right. And we tripping off things that, we ordinarily didn't think we would succumb to. Right. And then all of a sudden mental health becomes a factor now. Now we, depression leads into now we have these suicidal thoughts because we didn't get what we wanted when we wanted to. And then we about to jump off the curb. So no. It starts with having that patience and being okay. Okay. And waiting for signs from God that he is blessing us while in the midst of a storm.
I love that. I love that. It's important for us to have these type of conversations, because there's so many of us who are struggling. We are struggling, and we are privately struggling, privately struggling. And I was telling my husband that at Christmas time, I was struggling, and I truly believe that I was slightly depressed. And it was, and all it was the enemy. It was the enemy, and the enemy was playing things that occurred a year and a half prior. And the enemy is telling me, honestly, why are you even putting up with this behavior? Why would you even, allow someone to make you feel this way? You deserve better. Like, the enemy was just putting stuff in my head. And he was like, it's been a year and a half and that person hasn't changed, right? And so Christmas was really hard for me because I was in this mode of depression. And January 1st, God was like, okay, you had your time. Now it's time for you to get up. You need to get out of this. And I talked, had a beautiful conversation with my pastor. And I eventually told my husband, like, this is what I was going through at Christmas. And I said, I don't know where it came from, but what I understood is that I needed patience. I needed patience because God was working something in me. And I love the fact that you brought up Job, because God was working something in Job. Because if we remember, the scripture says that Satan went to God first and said, I want him. I want him. And God said, don't, you can do whatever you want, but that's my servant. Don't even try to kill him. You
It's
can do
interesting
whatever
that
you
he even
want.
had that he had to get the permission.
Come on
And
now.
then, okay, he had to get the permission. And
Come
God said,
on.
okay, you know, sometimes when we don't have faith in ourselves, God has faith in us.
Come
Okay,
on.
because God knew, he was like, okay, well, you know what? Check it out. You can go ahead and test him, but you will
Yes.
not kill him.
Come
Okay, they
on.
had a whole conversation about it.
Come
Yeah, they
on.
had a
They were
whole conversation
negotiating.
about it. Come on. Come on. Come on. And the thing and to think that we have gotten so far and you know evolved so
Come
far
on.
that something like that is not happening on a daily basis.
Come
Okay, that
on.
conversations like that in the divine realm are not happening on a daily basis.
Come on.
I'm just saying. So I've learned that every day now, because I had gotten away from it, because sometimes that's when I know when God wants my attention, right? When he makes me wait for something, and then I start, you know, I pray more, you know, come, and I say, you know, but that's not right. Okay, it's not right that I have a sometimes relationship. You know, that I do all these extra things, you know, when I want something, and then when I get it or something close, then I kind of fall back. That ain't right. That's why I know I'm in a season there where God wants my attention. I said, because you know what? Let me start making it a part of my daily breakfast, my daily intake, to make sure that I am putting into me a armor, right? I have to go out. I have to be prepared, right? I have to have on a shield of armor, and that shield of armor is making sure that I digest something that one equates to God, that two equates to positivity for just mindset, period. Which the two are related anyway, but I have to have that added dosage just in case I think I'm going to forget something. Let me just pile it on. Right. And I have to be equipped in that fashion. And I'm learning I can't just let it go. I can't just, like some people get up and exercise every day. I have to do that every day. Okay. And that's before the journaling. That's before the meditation. I'm learning that I have to give my attention to God through in the beginning, in the bed, before I get out the bed. Okay, somebody, so one of the kids who've been in the bed with me, they got one foot on me, somebody got the foot in my face, somebody got the hand in my mouth. And at that time, at that time is when I'm talking to God, like, okay, God, okay, I need you. I need to reflect. I need to meditate on what it is I'm getting prepared for today. We got to talk. We got to have a conversation.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And I love that you bring that up, because there's so many women who are like that, you know, that are, God, I have all this going on, but I don't know when to talk to you. I don't know how to talk to you, or I just don't know what to do. And the fact that you say, no matter what is going on around me, physically or spiritually or emotionally, I go to God first. As soon as I open my eyes, I go to God. And that's something that all of us should practice, that
Yeah,
we
because
go to Him first.
most of us are reactive, right? But
Correct.
if we had a sense of being
Correct.
proactive, we wouldn't need to be reactive.
Come
And the
on.
same thing goes with that. I mean, we have same, it's the same. A strategy applies, right?
That's right.
Why do we always feel the need that, okay, after something happens, then I'm gonna come to you, then I'm
Right.
gonna pray? Because none of
Right.
us would operate in a friendship like that.
That's
None of
right.
us. None of
That's
us would
right.
have friends or be in relationship with people, not your man, not your mama, not your father, not your kids, if you felt like they only came to you when they needed something, right? So the foundation,
Right.
and I said to you too, when I was, you know, letting you know, like one of the things that I do is cultivating relationship. That's important to me. That's important. I don't need to, you know, when I want something, it's about what's going on in your world. Okay, your parents going through something. Let's figure this out together, because that's when it counts. Okay, that's when it counts. And being there from the beginning before stuff happened, it's like sometimes we be going through stuff and it's like, well, you know, no one cares, because they only come around with something when something's happening. And it shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't have to resort to having relationships only when it matters to something or someone. We need to ha it's it needs to be homegrown, right?
Right.
It needs to have a foundation, regardless of when there's up and down. It's a hey, how you doing today? I was thinking about you. You was on my mind.
That's
And
right.
just to know that you're blessing someone, just to know that you ain't called to talk about yourself.
That's right. That's right. I love that. And you mentioned throughout our conversation how, personally you've gone through just what it is to not be empowered to actually being empowered. So making that shift. So I want to ask you, where was a time where you were physically or emotionally or spiritually sick? And it reminds me of that time in Acts in the Bible where Tabitha was working and she was serving her community. And then one day she just died. But because of her good works, the apostle Peter came and he resurrected her and she was able to serve again. Was there a time in your life where it was a complete stop and you needed to be resurrected? You needed to be rejuvenated. You need to be refreshed physically, emotionally, or spiritually.
It's interesting because I feel like I'm every season I'm there. I'm in some type of it seems like everything is going good. The next thing, something happened or doesn't go quote unquote my way, and I'm sad. I'm, feeling some emotional trauma about something. Somebody didn't do something. Somebody didn't say something the right way. Now I'm feeling some kind type of way. But I would say one of the biggest experiences that I had was going through going through litigation with my family over our childhood home. And at the time going through that, I just kept questioning God. Oh my God, now I ain't even old enough to be going through nothing like this, Lord. Now you now me now I was really trying to figure out. I said, Lord, now I am not old enough to be sitting up here going through no drama like this. Okay, I don't have the expertise. I don't have the resources. I don't have the bandwidth. I was pregnant, working in Tyson's Corner, trying to figure out family fighting with each other. I said, you know what? And every day I would say, me and my mom weren't on the same page. And I would just be like, I know I'm not supposed to question you guys, so I'm not really sure how I'm supposed to frame this to you. I said, but I'm just trying, I don't even know why I'm going through this. What did I do? I mean, it was over. The course of time was over 3 years, okay, of just going through legal mess, going through, like I said, ups and downs with my mom. Our family was divided. And I just was like, I just don't understand how. I've always been a good daughter, in my opinion. I've always tried to honor my, so and so. And I just was like, God, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why I'm going through this. And at some point in time, a few years after the fact, because even years after the fact, I still felt like I did not understand. I still didn't feel like I understand. I said, God, why am I going through this? And all of a sudden, I started really trying to understand about being a service to other people. And that's when real estate really came into my focus as a vehicle to be able to get out and talk to people. And understand, because I said, if there's any way that I could prevent a family from going through the trauma of, do we sell selling mom selling 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 grandma house, not to sell grandma house, okay, to kind of give that experience and to shield some education at the same time. Because it's funny, because what I felt like I was missing out on was that I didn't know what to do. I didn't feel like I was equipped with the resources to understand how I could get out of this, come out on top financially, if it had to be that way, and also still maintain a good relationship with my family. I didn't, and honestly, I don't think there was a way to have done it, but I had to go through that then, from what I've reflected on, in order to get me to where I am now. So now, to me, like I said, when I'm out and I'm talking to people about, different things going on to enhance their family from either, either business or real estate, It's a part of my ministry because through that, I am them also redirecting them to turn to God too. Okay, that's a part of my ministry. Okay, we're gonna talk some real estate, we're gonna talk some business, and we're gonna talk God too. Okay, and all of that together brought me to, because if I hadn't have gone through that, right, if I hadn't have been at a place where I really had to get on my knees every day to ask for guidance, to ask for wisdom, and to ask for grace, if there was something that I was doing that I didn't know I was doing, Lord, forgive me. Okay, because I have no idea. I was not in a position to even try to tell myself what to do, let alone direct my own steps. And that's when I knew I had to turn to God. I said, because there's a reason why I'm going through this. And what I reflected on from this is that it was to get me an elevation for the next phase in my life to be of service to others through what I'm my ministry now, which is what we're talking about now. Okay. And knowing that there would be people like me that look like me, that talk like me, that do the things, like I said, working moms, people who are trying to build businesses, trying to raise families, trying to be good and supportive spouses, right? And at the same time feeling like they're giving up a piece of themselves to do all of that. Okay. There's a community for that. And us being here today is purposeful to be able to talk to that, right? Because if I hadn't have gone through that, I would not have had no, I wouldn't have sound so, there would not be a need for this today, Latika. It wouldn't be. Because it would never have crossed my mind. I had to experience going through that to know, to get that vision that really God had for me, because now I'm playing the playbook back and now it's making sense. Okay, God got me out here quarterbacking. You know what I'm saying? He got me out here quarterbacking, but I had to go through something to get the vision. He was like,
Exactly.
because you ain't ready.
That's right. That's
You
right.
weren't ready for this at the for what, for how I'm going to position you. So
Right.
I had to go through trauma. Okay, which I think we all of us have a story.
Yes.
Right? None of us is exempt from a story, but it's what you do with that story, how you repurpose
Exactly.
that story is what counts.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. Wow, this has been such an empowering conversation, Lauren. And I just can't say thank you enough for being here. You have
Yes.
shared so much with us about defining being an empowering working mom to the challenges like lack of support or the lack of quality mental health, physical health, spiritual health, and also making sure that in order for us to make the shift, the transition to be empowered, that we reflect on our quality of life. What are we doing in making sure that we be so that we can do so that we can achieve?
That's right.
And I absolutely love that. You have done so much for us today to empower us, and I thank you. Where can we follow you, stay in touch with you, so that everybody can just keep up with all the wonderful things that you're doing?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I am the Lauren Lassiter on all social media platforms, but primarily Facebook and Instagram. You can also reach me via email, which is laurenlassiter@kw.com. And I'm always happy to talk. It doesn't have to be about anything specific. I'm just always happy to be a resource.
Absolutely. And we thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this episode. Remember, you can support this podcast by following and sharing this particular episode with the first working mom that comes to your mind. And don't forget to go to www.empoweringtheworkingmom.com to stay updated on all of our events, online community, and other initiatives to support you. To keep in contact with our guests, please view our show notes, which will have all of her contact information and her social media handles. Until we meet again, remember that you are an empowered working mom, and this has been your empowering moment. Go do what thus says the Lord. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Empowering the Working Mom podcast. As you reflect on the empowering moments, remember that you are not alone in this journey. It takes a whole village to be a working mom. Discover how big your village is by joining fellow working moms in our private Empowering Working Mom online community, where we continue this conversation and support each other every step of the way. Until next time, you got this because God has you.